Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, yeah. On your home for the best Ravens coverage, it's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Game day. Tonight, 8:15, Ravens in L.A., SoFi Stadium, taking on the Chargers. Battle of second-place teams. Two teams with 7 wins. Two teams trying to get to the postseason. Of course, the Ravens last year made it to the AFC Championship game. Chargers didn't even make the playoffs. But now they're trending in a more positive direction. Winners of 4 in a row, 5 of 6. But underdogs at home, nonetheless. But John Harbaugh, out with the media late last week, talking about the similarities between the two franchises, Baltimore, L.A.
Yeah, all of it, all of it. The culture, the way things are done, but the how they play, certainly. The schemes, very similar. You know, the schemes are a lot of ways, not exactly the same, but a lot of ways mirror images. The people coaching, a lot of the guys playing. But with that, it's two different football teams, you know. It's two teams squaring off in a really important game, you know, and that's really what it's going to be about. It's going to be about the guys out there playing the game, you know. It takes a lot of courage to play this game, man. It takes an incredible amount of toughness to play this game.
Yes, it does, John. There is a lot of coaches on both sides. You know, because Minter was at the Ravens at one time.
Yeah, he was a linebacker coach.
Yeah, so, I mean, there is a lot of guys that on that Charger team that started out. And Mark Trestman's on the staff, too, who was here at the Ravens as an OC. So, yeah, it's going to be, you know, all that stuff is cool, but bottom line, it's going to be how do the players perform on the field? That's what it's going to be about. You know, can the Chargers stop the Ravens running attack? Can they stop Lamar? You know, and can the Ravens, how's the secondary going to play? So, I mean, it's that's what's going to answer this, not Jim Harbaugh versus John Harbaugh and G. Rowe and all those things.
Another concern, I guess, if you want to call it that, from a Ravens perspective, can they put pressure on Justin Herbert? Can they generate enough of a pass rush to make him uncomfortable, a guy that's only thrown one pick so far this season?
Yeah, I think, Bob, both of their tackles, Chargers, you know, you got Alt on the right side, who was, what, the 5th pick of the draft. I think he's outstanding pass blocker. Slater is a good pass blocker. I think the inside is where you got to get the pressure. Bozeman and the right guard.
Pipkins.
Yes, Trey Pipkins. Those are the two guys. You know, it's got to be Matabike and Washington. Or I could see them blitzing a lot, too. Maybe with Simpson.
Speedy at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. It is news from the Nest here on this game day Monday. You want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. Concerns, thoughts, predictions for the game. Philly's looming. You can't look past Chargers to get to Philly because that would be bad. Short-sighted. Probably adverse to victory if you want to look at it that way. Kyle Hamilton, Ravens All-Pro safety, was asked about, hey, you lost to Pittsburgh, but defensively you were better than you've been. Remember, Burrow lit him up on national TV. So can you build there, Kyle?
Yeah, I think it's easier said than done. And, you know, it's something that we kind of got caught up saying against Buffalo and then coming up the next week and not doing. And so I included, as well as everybody else in the building, definitely doesn't want that result again. So, you know, we're aware of it now and know that we had played a good game, but I think we can get a lot better. And I think that's kind of the mindset everybody on defense has right now.
If I was the defense, my mindset would be, hey, you know, last week we took a step forward. You know, we made the changes we needed to make. And now I think guys are more comfortable with that group of guys. So I would anticipate, you know, it's kind of like starting the season over, like week one to week two as you make huge strides. So I kind of expect that. And, Bob, it would not shock me if Adarius Washington was the leading tackler in the game for the Ravens.
Eddie Jackson was released over the weekend. Any surprises there?
No. It seemed like, you know, when they didn't let him travel the last time, it was just a matter of time.
Yep. He had started against Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Had a couple of gaffes there.
Dropped two balls.
Then didn't even suit up the next week, and I guess everything came to a head. Now Eddie Jackson no longer part of the organization. But would Marcus Williams play one snap against Pittsburgh, and that's because Hamilton missed a play?
Yep.
Where's he fitting into this thing now?
He's not. Well, the only way he fits in if somebody gets hurt. Otherwise, he doesn't fit in. You know, we had a caller earlier ask, you know, about the Iowa State kid.
TJ Tampa,
yeah, but he's on IR right now. But I would think in the future he's going to be a safety.
All right, Ardarius Washington, then you just mentioned him. Here's Kyle Hamilton talking about his new safety running mate.
Yeah, I think in my 3 years here, AD has been one of the more resilient people on the team. You know, he's had injuries. He's had times where he might not have been in rotation. He's had times where he's put in the rotation, had another injury. And he's just been super consistent ever since I've been here. And to see him get an opportunity and excel with the opportunity, I think he's not just back there. I think he's back there making plays and doing his job at a high level. So super happy for him and just thankful I get to play beside somebody like that and have somebody who's as much of a professional as he is to maybe not be in the position that he wanted to be in at the start of the season. You know, we're getting down to the crunch time of the season, and he's a big part of our defense. So I'm just happy for him, excited.
Kind of reminds you of the story of Geno Stone. Same type of story. And then, you know, when Geno got the opportunity, played extremely well, you know, and Ardarius is playing well, then Geno went off and got paid, and we'll see what happens with Ardarius.
Yeah, Geno's a guy that they got rid of.
Yeah.
And then came back and took advantage of circumstances. And now in Cincinnati, as Vinny said, getting paid. Lamar Jackson, Ravens' outstanding quarterback, ready for yet another primetime, hopefully, show-off performance. But, Lamar, what's going on with that offense? Are we cool with the consistency here?
Just being consistent. When we're doing things out there on that field, we got to be consistent. And that's what we're chasing. And we're not doing a good job at being consistent. You know, we have in our moments where going to the game, scoring first drive. And it's been a couple weeks. We haven't been scoring first drive. You know, and it's just been taking us a little while to get our groove, and we got to work on that. That's the biggest thing for us right now, just being consistent. Like I said earlier, just putting points on the board, because that's our job.
And I think that's the most important thing, what he just said right there, putting points on the board. The way they put points on the board and the way they become consistent, much more consistent. If you look at the games where they were consistent offensively, I bet you they were good on first and second down. You know, they're not being first and 15, first and 20, those types of things. You know, it's second and five, third and three. That's the routine. That's what they've got to get back to. And, I mean, when you have 12 penalties, and I'm guessing about seven of them or so were on offense, and you get a hold, you know, because the plays that get called back were productive plays for the Ravens. I mean, you know, you're not only going back five, but it's like the 12 that you lost. So it's like a 17-yard penalty, not a five. So that's got to bring the consistencies is, you know, first down. Be good on first down, and then it'll be much more consistent.
And finally, if you missed this cut earlier or late last week, Greg Roman, the new offensive coordinator with the Chargers, as they've been trending in a positive direction here on that side of the ball. Lamar Jackson was asked to reminisce, man, about Giro.
It was good. I mean, we had a lot of success. You know, won my first MVP, Giro system. We had a lot of great seasons. I believe it was just short.
What? He believes it was short?
I guess the time together was short.
Oh. Yeah. It was the
3 years. Yeah. 19, 20, 21, 40.
I mean, 19 was outstanding. 20 was good. You know.
Then injury-plagued seasons.
And then the passing. And they didn't. Giroux didn't want to go get weapons, is a lot of the issue. So, yeah, he had some injuries. And then I just think that everybody caught up to Giroux's offense, the other teams. In 19, what were teams? Nobody could figure it out. Everybody, they were going to talk to college coaches and stuff on how to try to stop the Ravens. And then everybody studied it in the offseason. Then teams started to catch up. And then Giroux really never expanded, the part he needed to expand it to was the pass game.
Well, hopefully Zach Orr's studied it enough for tonight, 8:15 kickoff. Ravens, 2.5-point favorites against the Chargers. You want to join us, you can at 410-583-1057. Coming up tonight, Baltimore Game Day Uncensored, the pregame show. We start at 5 o'clock. Green Turtle in Owings Mills, right down the road from One Winning Drive. Inside Access will be there starting at 2 o'clock, brought to you by Rice Mirtha Pesaurus. We'll get to your phone calls, but when we come back, let's count some dough, man. Holidays are here. We got that extra money for Thanksgiving weekend. Buy or sell next here on The Fan.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Penny and Haney. 1057, The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 1057, The Fan. Game day Monday. Ravens tonight, 8:15, taking on the Chargers. SoFi, Ravens 2.5-point favorites. You know the drill. Over under, according to ESPN Bet, over 50. So maybe some points on the board as the odds makers see it. Tons going on in the world of sports. We'll get to as much as we possibly can and time allotted. But right now, let's count that dough by yourself.
All right. The Dow is up 289. The S&P's up 7. NASDAQ's up 16. DraftKings down 2 cents. Under Armour's up 12 cents, 884.
All right. We're getting started in baseball today. Free agency, Walker Buehler. He was the hero for the Dodgers in the World Series, but his regular season, maybe the worst of his career so far. He's trying to cash in with a new contract on the open market, but everyone seems to have a different idea of what he's going to get. How much does his previous career trajectory, all that promise as a young starting pitcher, how do you weigh that against recent injuries, recent struggles? From LA's perspective, I mean, they can easily buy an upgrade over him in a heartbeat, but this past season, they experienced firsthand what a ton of pitching injuries will do to you. I mean, there was instability from start to finish for them. Buy or sell, Bob, Buehler ends up back in a Dodgers uniform next year.
I'll buy it. Maybe not for this hefty price tag. They just re-signed Dustin May, a one-year deal, who missed all of last season. But Buehler, two-time Tommy John guy, I believe once at Vanderbilt, and then obviously with the Dodgers, immense skill set. Two-time Tommy John brings a red flag for sure, but I think he'll stick around in L.A. unless somebody gets zany offering a deal he can't refuse. How's that sound?
Well, apparently the A's reached out. They said, hey, you want to come here? He said no. So that's all we know.
You know, he don't want to pitch. Where are they playing? Sacramento?
Sacramento. Yeah.
That was his reasoning, too. He told him, I don't want to play in Sacramento.
Yeah. I've already been through the minor leagues. I'm not doing anything.
Well, the Eagles, they're riding high right now. 7-game win streak. And last night against L.A., it was all Saquon Barkley. He carried all the weight for them. Ran for a career-high 255 yards. Added 2 touchdowns, drastically increasing his MVP odds in the process. And that's saying something, considering the award has been almost exclusively for quarterbacks. He now has more rushing yards than Derrick Henry on the season in the same amount of games. And with that being said, Henry still has the edge in touchdowns, 13-10. Yardage, Barkley up roughly 200 yards at this point. Buy or sell, Vinny, by the end of the season, Barkley will have more rushing yards and rushing touchdowns than Derrick Henry.
I'm going to sell it. I think Henry, he's a competitor too. I think Henry's going to run his ass off tonight. So I think it'll be interesting, but I think Henry will win it out at the end. And a lot's going to be determined next week when they play each other.
Sure, sure. More from baseball here. Last Friday was the deadline for teams to tender contracts to players still under club control. And as usual, there were some notable names that did not receive a contract and hit the open market. Among them, the Nationals deciding to move on from reliever Kyle Finnegan. who was a very prominent name leading up to the trade deadline, was in the midst of a career season, 25 saves, a sub-3 ERA that led him to earn his first All-Star appearance as well. But after that July break, an ERA of 5.79 ballooned down the stretch. Buy or sell, Bob, Finnegan would be a good replacement for Webb or Coulomb in the Orioles bullpen.
I'm going to sell it. You know why? Because Jordan Romano was non-tendered by Toronto, who was an All-Star closer. I mean, Finnegan was having a career year. Romano's been kind of at the top of his class. But he had the elbow impingement issue in July. But his track record of success is a little bit stronger. He throws high 90s. He's a max effort guy. I guess it explains the... Anyway, I would take a look at him before I would do anything else. But, you know, it's not my money. Again, the beers are still going to be $18. Spend as much as you want, Mike Elias.
Well, last week, Daniel Jones was granted his release from the Giants. The assumption is he's going to clear waivers. Nobody wants to pick up a contract of that magnitude. But as a free agent, could he immediately latch on elsewhere? Jones said that he would prefer to sign with a contender, seemingly valuing that over playtime with another losing team. But as Mike Florio wrote over the weekend, every contender should be interested here, in his opinion. Says that Jones would be an upgrade over every contender as it stands right now, their current backup situation, maybe with the exception of the Steelers, who are comfortable with their two quarterbacks. Buy or sell, Vinny, the team that signs Daniel Jones will be a current division leader.
I'm going to sell it because I think the place that he may end up is the Vikings. You know, and Kevin O'Connell has done a great job with those kind of guys and stuff. So look what he's done with Darnold. I mean, if I'm Daniel Jones, I'm looking to go to a place that's, you know, what are they going to do for me coaching-wise over the next 2 months?
Didn't Schefter report the Ravens were one of the leaders to get him? Did I read that correctly?
I've seen a few people suggesting that.
Yeah.
But it goes back to Florio's point. I mean, he listed all the backups.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't argue with him on a good handful of them. For example, Josh Johnson. I mean, yep. Can we say that Daniel Jones is better than Josh Johnson? I think not by, you know, leaps and bounds, right. But I'd be comfortable saying that.
Hey, look. You lose Lamar Jackson, you're screwed either way.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But I get your point, I guess.
I know, maybe. We'll close sort with this one here.
I mean, he's going to make the vet minimum wherever he goes.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully we don't have to address that.
Correct. But
we'll close with this here. College football. Chaos all across the college football landscape over the weekend. Four teams in the top 25 lost to an unranked opponent, including Ole Miss losing to Florida. The Gators have had a rough season, kind of to be expected in their preseason projections, to the point where head coach Billy Napier was very much on the hot seat. A 6-5 record at this point, not going to do much to change that, but back-to-back wins over top 25 competition, they are heating up at the right time, in line to play in a bowl game as well. Buy or sell, Bob, those two most recent wins just bought Napier another year.
I will, I'll soft buy that. Let me see what they got coming up here real quick.
Nolan. I'm guessing Florida State at the end, right?
They have, Florida State. Florida State's dreadful.
Yeah.
I mean, Norville, I guess he went from being in the penthouse to the outhouse there. I see that win. Yes, I think Napier gets another year, and rightfully so. I mean, Florida hasn't been Florida in quite some time. This isn't the Spurrier, you know, Gators of the 90s that we're talking about. So it's nice to win on a high note for sure. It beats they got blown up by Texas. Georgia can't be. Anyway, yes, I have soft buying that he'll stick around for another season because they are, as you, to your point, Nolan, bowl eligible. Not that that means anything, I guess, in this day and age. We'll come back, take your phone call. Sports at 583-1057. Prediction for tonight's Ravens-Chargers game. Ravens 2.5-point favorites. We got Vinny's stat breakdown between the two teams. Jason Cole, longtime NFL writer, going to have some NFL lunch with us. We'll get to our picks for over the weekend and obviously for tonight. And Jeff Ehrman, inside of MDSports.com. Well, tale of two weekends. Good for Willard, bad for Loxley.
The latest sports news and your place to talk about it. Always. 105.7 The Fan.
Well, every team's different. You know, and I say this every week, you can't carry over points and you can't carry over yards like an execution. Like, you know, what's that got to do with this week? They're really good. We're really good. We got to execute at a better clip, starting with coaching. How do we get our guys really dialed in?
Todd Monken, Ravens offense coordinator, talking about the Ravens offense, high-powered against the defense that's given up the fewest points per game this year in the NFL, 14.5, and we'll get to all of that coming up in a few with a stat breakdown. But it's going to be an interesting matchup here as Todd Monken is creative. I mean, the Ravens, when they're clicking on all cylinders, Vinny, almost an unstoppable offense till they stop themselves,
of course. That's it. Teams aren't stopping them. They stop themselves. And the big thing tonight, Bob, is going to be third down, because the Ravens are really good on third down, and the Chargers are outstanding. They're number two on third down. So, I mean, that's going to be the big thing, is they've got to be good on third down. And how are you good on third down? We talked about it earlier. You're good on first down. You're good on second down. That makes third down a lot easier because it's a lot shorter. And it's not those third and tens. Those are hard to complete because all of a sudden then, you know, your O-line, people are coming. They're getting out of Bosa's coming and everything. So things get more difficult then.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Let's get out to the phones. 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Got NFL lunch coming up top of the hour. Jason Cole, longtime NFL writer. Talked to him about a crazy Sunday, especially the early window of games. Yesterday with Washington, Dallas, Minnesota, and Chicago, Tennessee, and Houston, Kansas City, Carolina. It was wild, wacky stuff, everybody. Let's go to Joe in Woodbury. Joe, what's up?
What's up is that y'all said everything I was about to say. Just listening, y'all, you know, I'm just saying, like, can the Ravens stop stopping themselves? And that goes from Harbaugh to Monken to the players. I'm sitting here thinking of one of the worst offensive penalties I can think of. It's not holding. It's not that offensive offsides kills me. Offensive offsides. How can you know not to be on the other side of the line of scrimmage? You're on offense. That pisses me off more than the holding and everything else, but they all do. So if they cannot hold, you know you're supposed to keep your hands inside. Mm-hmm. You know you can sneak a grab. It's easier to sneak a grab on the inside than it is on the outside. I don't know why. And Monken needs to be crafty, man. I mean, if they don't stop themselves, they should win this game. Now, will we win 5 out of this last 6? I'm asking y'all guys. I'm gone. Later. Have a good best day.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Enjoy the game tonight.
Well, to me, just take it one at a time. I mean, tonight's a tough game. Next week's a tough game. So, I mean, they've got some tough ones, you know, on the horizon. But then, you know, you got the bye coming up, too, which will help because Harbs is usually pretty good on the byes.
Yeah, and then the Giants.
Giants stink.
And then it gets a little interesting with Pittsburgh and Cleveland.
Yeah, like you were saying earlier, Houston's missing something.
Yeah, and look, they've had injuries, which we get. C.J. Stroud's not
leveling up to picks.
So MVP. I mean, he got outplayed by Levis yesterday. Levis, who did throw a pick.
Yeah, pick six.
Yeah. Let's go to Sean in Randallstown. Sean, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing, man?
Feel good about Monday Night Football, but, I mean, you guys, as usual, you guys always hit it on the nose. This game, the only team that can really beat the Ravens is the Ravens. I think if Lamar could continue to be if Lamar comes out and be himself, I think we got a good chance of winning this game. But a lot of people hate the late bye week, but I feel like right now the bye week is coming at a wonderful time right now. We got to get these two games out of here and get some rest. But, I'm going to let you guys have it. Can I give a score?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
27-21. This game going to come down to the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter.
All right, Sean, and that'll make an interesting Monday night for sure. I don't see a blowout under any circumstances, personally.
Unless somebody turns it over a bunch.
Yeah.
You know?
But, you know, it's an important game for both teams because the Chargers are trying to prove that they are, in fact, for real. This would be their fifth straight win.
Yeah,
and they're moving in a very positive direction. They're still not out of it chasing the Chiefs for the AFC West. But the Ravens lose then that's five conference losses. So any tie-breaking scenarios when it comes to the playoffs, they're going to be up against it. You win, now you're only a half game out of first. You see Pittsburgh in a couple of weeks. To me, this is a much bigger game for the Ravens than it is for the Chargers.
Yeah, I would agree with that, too, Bob.
With Philly looming next week, too?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. You know, and I just, I'm feeling pretty good about, I just think Lamar's going to be, you know, not the, I don't see Lamar putting, stacking back-to-back bad performances. Although his performance against Pittsburgh was not great. You know, the fourth quarter or the last drive was good.
Yeah, when they took the lead and then the ill-fated, had a chance to tie it, the ill-fated two-point conversion.
Yeah.
But, you know, for three quarters, inconsistent, a little bit errant there, throwing the football.
And wouldn't run.
Reluctant to run. All right, let's get back to the phones. 410-583-1057 is the number. Predictions for tonight's Ravens game as they are favored against the Chargers. Let's go to Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, how are you?
Good, Bob. How you doing, Vinny? Thanks for the call. It should be some game. I tell you, once Harbaugh rolled out of Michigan into the Chargers as a coach, the schedule makers, they made sure the AFC West was going to play the AFC North. It's just some coincidence, but it's going to be a great game. You got two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, and I think the Chargers actually have a better defense. And the Chargers have a defense that you don't hear that a lot. And I think Gus and Dobbins will come back to haunt your Ravens here. It's going to be a great game.
Who do you think is going to win?
I think the Chargers.
What?
I mean, finally. I think the Chargers. I'm sorry. I have to.
I'm joking.
I got to go with I don't know what I'm going with. Don't pay no mind to me. But I got into. They have a nose tackle that's 5'11", 310. Boone is his name? Boone Ford.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is some athlete if he can have all that weight. But to me, it's going to be a great game. I had to be this late. Anyway, thanks for taking my call.
All right. Thank you, Mitch. Yeah, I mean, you know, primetime games are fun. They're exciting. They're just light. Being on prime time used to be a badge of honor. For the Ravens to do it, it's almost like expected that they get 4 or 5 and moving forward here. But this, to me, it's a litmus test for the Chargers, and it's a gut check for the Ravens.
Yeah.
You're bouncing back, hopefully.
You know, and he was talking about Puna Ford, you know, being 5'11". I mean, that, because Lindenbaum always struggles with big guys. And usually, because, you know, with a 5'11 guy, I think that'll help Lindenbaum a lot.
They're similar in size, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think the leverage, and so if they can get him blocked with just one guy, that's going to be huge.
All right. Let's get back to the phones. Video at 81057 The Fan. Nolan McGraw's on the other side of the glass. We'll hear from him next hour when we get to the Funhouse. Got Vinny's stat breakdown coming up in a couple of minutes. Let's go to George in Bel Air. George, what's happening on this game day Monday?
Man, got me in quick. Appreciate that one. How you guys doing?
Wonderful.
Nice. All right. Vinny, I'm going to aim this one at you. I heard when I first hopped in the car that the only people that can beat the Ravens is the Ravens themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to me, that sounds like a major coaching issue. You know, I think Harbaugh is a great guy, good Christian man. However, I'm kind of very skeptical as far as, like, his actual coaching ability. You know, we've seen a lot of fourth quarter meltdowns, a lot of dumb challenges. I'm thinking, would the Ravens be beating the Ravens this much if they had, like, an Andy Reid head coach? Do you think Harbaugh is the focal point of the problem here in Baltimore? I'll hang up and I'll listen to your response. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, George.
Yeah, I would say no on that. I mean, the issue, look at how much better that the defense got last week with just a replacement of one guy. And I think the biggest mistake that Harb's made this season is with a veteran team hiring Zach Orr to be the coordinator. I'll say that all year long, and hopefully, you know, it gets better, and it's even better by the end of the year. Then we'll be eating our words. So, but the coaching, no, because why, you know, you say, all right, well, Todd Monken, yeah, they're the first in the league in offense, 430 yards a game, and Lamar had a bad game. That's the coach's fault? is the coach's fault that Lamar didn't take the ball and run? No. You know, so players play. And your stars in those bigger games, your stars got to play like stars. Like tonight, Hamilton's got to play like a star tonight. Lamar's got to be a star tonight. Henry's got to be a star tonight. If those guys are star tonight, they win.
It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, we're going to crunch some numbers. Vinny's stat breakdown between the two teams. Greg Roman going up against Zach Orr. That's a matchup to watch. Not that they face each other on the field, but to get the drill. Coming up at 1 o'clock, NFL lunch. Longtime NFL writer Jason Cole is going to be joining us. And we'll look at our picks. College and pro over the weekend. A lot of upsets in college. A couple of shockers in the NFL. And then, of course, tonight's game. Ravens, 2.5-point favorites of the Chargers. Are we all going to drink the purple Kool-Aid? You'll find out at 1:15.
Vinny and Haney crunch the numbers. Sunday Stats Preview, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Game day, 8:15 tonight, Eastern time. Ravens out in L.A. taking on the Chargers. Battle of second-place teams. 2 7-win teams. One team's won 4 in a row. The other one, Ravens, coming off a loss at Pittsburgh last week. It's Vinny and Haney, Nolan McGraw, Bob Haney, Vince Rado. Nolan, he's ready to rock and roll. Well, let's crunch these numbers. Similarities, perhaps. I don't know. Let's find out. Stat breakdown.
All right. Chargers are a +8. Ravens are a +2. Ravens offense is number one. 430 yards a game. Chargers defense, 11th. They give up 317. Passing offense, Ravens third, 252. Chargers defense, 12th, give up 207 yards a game. Rushing offense, Ravens second, 177.3. Chargers rush defense, 11th, 110.5. Points scored, Ravens are second, 30.4. Chargers are first, 14.5. So something's going to have to give there. Ravens are scoring almost 31 points a game, and they're giving up 15. So if it's a high-scoring game, I'm guessing that's the Ravens' favor. Pass attempts, Ravens are 20th with 322. The Chargers' defense, they're 20th. They give up 340. Completion percentage, Lamar's 12th, 67.1. They're 7th, 62.9. Average per completion, Ravens are 2nd, 8.9. Chargers' defense, pretty good. They're 6th, 6.6. Touchdown passes, Lamar second with 25. Chargers have given up 12, which ranks him 11th. Interceptions, Lamar's 31st. He's only thrown 3. Chargers have 9, which ranks him 11th. Sacks allowed, Ravens are 30th with 15. Chargers defense, they have 6, or they're ranked 6th with 34. Quarterback rating, Ravens are first, 117.2. Chargers, pretty good, 24th, 82.7. Rushing attempts, Ravens offense is 4th, 338. Chargers defense 4th, 235. So people throw it 340 times, run it 235. So they throw it a lot more on the Chargers than they run it. Average per rush, Ravens are 1, 5.8. Chargers, not that good. 23rd, 4.7. They're almost giving up 5 yards a pop. Mm-hmm. Third downs, Ravens, third, 46.2. Chargers, defense, second, 32.3. Are excellent. Now, penalties, Ravens are first with 92. Chargers are 29th with 53. So the Ravens got like 40 more penalties than the Chargers do. All right, let's look at the Ravens D, Chargers O. Chargers offense ranked 18th overall, 326.4. Ravens D, 26th, 322. Passing offense, they're 19th. Ravens defense, 32nd, down to 284. After that Pittsburgh game, they improved 10 yards.
There you go.
Yeah. Rushing offense, the Chargers, they're 12th, 121.6. Ravens D, 2nd, 77.5. Points scored, Chargers offense 18th, 22. Ravens defense 23rd, 24-6. Passing attempts, this is typical G-Ro. Chargers offense is 30th, 279 passing attempts. Ravens, they've given up more passing attempts than anybody in the league, 434. So, yeah, they've given up. Everybody throws it on them, and a lot. Completion percentage, Chargers are 20th, 63.8. Ravens defense are 15th, 65.4. Average per completion, Chargers are 8th, 7.9. So they hit explosive plays. Average per completion, Ravens defense, 28th, 7.7. Touchdown passes, Chargers are 15th with 13. Ravens are 30th. They've given up 22. Interceptions, Herbert's the best. He's got 13 touchdowns, one pick. Ravens defense has 7 interceptions, which ranks them 15th. Sacks allowed. Chargers offense is 14th with 26. Ravens defense is 3rd with 35. Quarterback rating, Herbert, 102.3. They're 5th. Quarterback rating, Ravens defense is 24th with 99. Rushing attempts, Chargers, 15th overall, 291. That's what's kind of surprising, Bob, is they've thrown it 280 and rushed it 290. So they throw it a lot more. Rushing attempts, Ravens defense is 8th. Not a lot of people throw it or run it at the Ravens a lot. Average per rush, Chargers, they're 20th, 4.2. Not great. Average per rush, Ravens, 1st, 3.4. Third downs, Chargers not great on third. They're 15th. They're average. 38.8. Ravens, one of the worst. 28th, 44.4. So that's what's going to make it extremely interesting is biggest thing with the defense is they can't allow chunk plays and they got to tackle well because that'll keep the average per completion down. And if they can get an interception, he's only thrown one, you know, create a turnover, that would be good for this defense.
Another key stat, too, getting back to the Ravens offense versus their defense. Ravens number one in the red zone. They're number two defensively. So that's going to be a battle of strengths there.
No doubt. Well. No doubt. And that's a lot of that's going to be, Bob, is have Henry on the field. I'll bet you we're going to see Henry on the field a lot in the red zone, Bob.
And we talked about this stat earlier, people just tuning in. J.K. Dobbins leads the Chargers in rushing with 726, averaging 4.8 per carry, 8 touchdowns. But he's the only player that's rushed for over 200 yards because Gus Bus doesn't have the burst we saw from him when he was in his prime with the Ravens just a couple short years ago.
Yeah, I mean, he's had 41 rushes. Dobbins had 152. Yeah, and Herbert's had 41 rushes. So he's going to run some. Just got to shut him down tonight.
It's 88-80-105-7 The Fan. We'll talk more NFL coming up next with Jason Cole's going to join us for NFL Lunch. We'll get to our picks, College of Pro for the weekend, and, of course, tonight's game, Ravens and Chargers. And then Jeff Ehrman, InsideMDSports.com. Kevin Willard's Turtles come from 14 down to beat Villanova. I know what you're saying. Well, Villanova's not all that great, but, hey, it's not a loss. That's all that matters. Maryland football, however, yeah, they suffered a loss. 29-13, they go to Happy Valley as 24.5-point dogs. We'll talk to Jeff about that more. Is Malik Washington still solid to Maryland? Because he's a key for the recruiting class.